When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage Level 3. We're just taking a look at the quarterbacks here. Some interesting quarterback odds. So Jacoby Brissett's minus 400. You can put it in parlays, but he will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in week one. This one's interesting. New York Giants, Daniel Jones is minus 600. Drew Lock is plus 400. Now, I said this earlier in the week. Just due to Daniel Jones's injury history, it's worth a bet, point blank. This guy gets hurt all the time. Not to mention, the second part of this is, they don't really like him that much, right? Brian Daboll didn't draft him. He inherited him. And we all know this is the last year for Daniel Jones with the New York Giants. Like, point blank, this is it. So, they just don't want to eat the money right now. But between Daniel Jones getting injured and something happening, you know, if and Daboll wants to win as well, a plus 400, Kurtz, I think Drew Lock is worth a bet. And you don't hope that Daniel Jones gets hurt or something happens. But number one, they don't like him. Number two, he gets hurt a lot. And number three, they really do like Drew Lock a lot.
Everything you said is true, but how does Daniel Jones get hurt? I mean, they're going to protect him. He's not going to play in the preseason, or at least very little. All right, I don't see that happening. So he's already over the injury from last year. You're not worried about that. He's already participating in drills. So
I know what Barry goes to in Hoboken. We could pull a Uli.
It's Tommy DeVito, man.
I won't say it out loud, but I was thinking. I'm kidding, obviously. But it's like, well, Cam, how are we going to win this? But I'm like, wow. Yeah. I know where he goes.
I don't know what the hell the Giants are doing in for
hey,
that.
Hey, Jones!
What are they doing? Like, who's running that team? Like, are these guys wasted? Like, you got like nine receivers, a bunch of it's just unbelievable the way they put that team
Jones
together.
He hasn't gone into this year. Daboll is going to be gone too.
Oh, yeah. He's toast for fun.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You wonder about the power structure there. I get the feeling that's why I thought they would take a quarterback almost. Right, because you take a quarterback this year in the draft, and then you just bought time. You say, "Listen, we got J.J. McCarthy. Give me a couple of years with this kid. He's a winner."
Exactly.
You could have gotten J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, or you could have got Michael Penix if you were the Giants, right? Like, you could have said, "All right, we're gonna get a new quarterback here and move forward." Because you're right, Cam. They keep drafting wide receivers, but it doesn't matter. You don't have anyone to throw the ball to them. Your offensive line is kind of shaky. You lost Saquon Barkley. Like, this team is kind of in purgatory. Like, they didn't move forward or backwards this offseason, really. But those are the odds. The last one here is Russell Wilson's minus 700. Justin Fields is plus 450. And the other one was Bo Nix. Bo Nix is minus 400, Cam.
Yeah.
Jared Stidham is plus 400. Plus 400 for Jared Stidham is pretty good. He started games in the NFL. Sean Payton likes him. Mm-hmm. People just assume that Bo Nix is going to be the starter, but the counter argument to that is Bo Nix is like 25 years old and has already started like 60 effing games in college. If he ain't ready now, he ain't ever going to be ready. So
that line, I can kind of see
Bo Nix being the starting quarterback. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. And that, and the line with Russell Wilson tells you he's going to be the starting quarterback, despite you could make an argument for Fields. Like, the fact that he's minus 700 is ludicrous. But books are they, you know what I mean? They're just looking for action the other way. And they know Wilson's going to be the starter due to his pedigree. And, you know, he's a veteran presence there. But how much better is he than Justin Fields? We'll see.
Well, they've kind of said it. They've kind of announced it, too.
Yes.
But Wilson could get hurt.
Yeah.
What, why announce it? No. Let's roll. Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Moretti. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between, including Cam Stewart and George Kurtz. So wild night tonight. Great games. The NBA playoffs. I've been locked in the NHL playoffs for the last couple of weeks, going to games, really soaking it up. It's been great. But these conference finals have been lit. Last night we had a wild game. We had overtime, track meet game with the Pacers and the Celtics. And tonight's game really lived up to the hype, man, with the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves, as Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving put on a show and a clinic on the road. And you have to wonder, wow, maybe this is it. Maybe this is Luka's time right now. 108-105 was the final score. And, of course, we have the Dallas Stars getting ready for the Edmonton Oilers, and we have a hardcore Dallas Cowboy fan in the house in George Kurtz. And not to mock the Cowboys, Kurtz, but a lot of success going on in the Big D right now. The Texas Rangers won the World Series. The Dallas Stars are in the conference finals, and the Dallas Mavericks are in the conference finals.
And Dallas Wings cover spreads. All the teams but
the Dallas
Cowboys.
Wings are pretty good in the WNBA.
All I'm hearing this, they, you know, they flash it on the screen. Mavericks, oh, finals, Stars, yeah. Finals. Yep. Now, Rangers won the World Series last year. All the Metroplex teams are, you know, in the finals, except for the Cowboys, who have now
the
been.
Yeah, TCU came even. TCU beat Michigan, went to the playoffs a couple years ago.
Yeah, good call. What I love about
even the college team, TCU.
You don't, bug me about my loser teams. We bring
they
on
think
Turkey,
they are, but no.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kurtz. Stars and Oilers. Who do you like to win the series? Who do you like in game one?
I'm Stars all over the place. Like, I like the Stars in the series. I'm taking them in six. They're just a better team.
Captain
here. They're
going Chalk, to the here. What am I asking
I love
for?
I picked the Stars of Panthers to win, to go to the cup before the playoff starts.
No, you're right.
Many times on this show. Not going away from it now. Minus 128. It's a great price. I'm surprised it's not higher. I actually thought it would be higher here. As for the so I'm on Dallas tomorrow. I'm on Dallas in the series. I actually thought it might be 5.5. They put it at 6.5 here, so I'll take the under. Smaller play on the under here. I don't think it's going to be a wide-open affair. I don't. So I think it's going to be a little close to the vest here. Give me the Stars.
I want to say this, and this is scary, just from a numbers and gambling perspective. Marenzi, you know I'm on the Stars too, but nobody is talking about the Oilers, yet the Stars are only laying 25 to 30 cents. Just saying. Like, if they're like everybody, Dallas and five. I like Dallas.
Well, I don't understand
six.
How the Edmonton Oilers were Stanley Cup favorites all year. Now they're here, but now they're underdogs suddenly. No one believes
that. That's kind of the question that I'm saying, too. Like, Dallas, if
they're actually
that
doing
superior,
it,
they should be minus 150.
But the Dallas looks so bit, good. The eye do. Test. It's the eye test with the Dallas Stars. You just watch them and you're like, man, you know.
They're deeper.
And the Canucks gave the Oilers all that they can handle. I think the Ottinger versus Skinner thing has people a little bit weary. But let's not underestimate Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Evander Kane and Bouchard. They're freaking skilled, Kurtz. Bouchard's got the best shot in the league, man.
He does. Yeah, he's got a rocket. He's got an absolute rocket. You do not want to get in front of that shot here. McDavid, so we know this is they're great. We know they're great skill players. And yes, maybe the top three players in this series are all on the Oilers. You can very well make that argument there. But the problem is the next 10 players are probably all, you know, Dallas Stars. They're a deeper team. And the Ettinger versus Skinner thing is huge. I mean, how do the Oilers beat the Canucks when your goalie had a less than 900 save percentage? That's just – that's unheard of. That doesn't happen here. But, you know,
you could get away with that because the Vancouver Canucks had like 10 shots on night. Goal on night. They never shot the damn puck.
Edmonton blocked a lot of shots. Got to give them some credit. And Vancouver
missed
the net.
That's the one thing, though. This is the one thing that people are underestimating about Edmonton a little bit. And I've seen this team live a couple of times in the playoffs. And they're a lot more physical and smarter than people realize. Like, they skate so well. So they're all so fast. and they're kind of mean. They've got, like, they're dirty. Hyman's a dirty dude. Evander Kane will rough it up with you. Dreisaitl's got a mean streak. Connor McDavid has shown how dirty he is as well. They've got a mean streak. They forecheck well. They dump the puck well. They skate really well. I get it, though, man. I think Dallas are the better team. Gabe.
Like, I look at their – Bouchard's a great offensive defenseman. Nurse, overrated defensively. Bouchard's an offensive guy. They got fifth and sixth defensemen all the way. Dallas has Heiskanen. Suter's been there before. He's an absolute killer.
It'll go seven, Cam. Dallas in seven.
I like Dallas in six, but I don't think they're – like, people are talking –
George, how many games?
I think that's crazy.
Six. Stars in six.
Or with the Kurtz.
I like this series a lot.
No love for the Edmonton Oilers.
Nope. We're bad Canadians.
The Rangers are in a lot of trouble, Kurtz. This series might be shorter than we all thought. Yeah, I'm a little worried now.
That didn't look good tonight. You're right. Go to
Florida looked real good.
Might be Panthers in five.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart, along with Gabe Morenci, Babano. We'll get Morenci's Wi-Fi back in here. We are talking, Babano. How did things look for you tonight on the ice with Florida? Great, impressive victory by Florida. A lot of people were talking about Shesterkin with shutouts, but what about Bob tonight? And what about Florida? That was an absolute perfect road game, Babano. Great game.
Yeah, Cam, it was. Good to be with you. Highway bobbery, as someone said in our chat tonight during the betcast. It really was. He was really strong. He wasn't overly peppered with shots tonight, but when he did have to face some really good chances and some quality looks, he was there to make the saves. So great start for the Florida Panthers. 19 straight games between the Panthers and Rangers had gone over 5.5 goals until tonight. So that streak came to an end, but give credit to Florida. And I thought for the Rangers, this was, I don't want to say this was a listless performance, but man, if they hope to win this series, they got to elevate their game a few notches from what we saw here tonight.
They're in a lot of trouble right now, the Rangers, moving forward. They're too dependent on special teams, and 5-on-5 is a problem for them. Their depth is an issue against the Panthers. When Bobrovsky's on, he's as good as it gets. And we saw that tonight. He was protected tonight. They played a perfect game this evening. But you talked about the over, Babano. I bet the under of this game tonight, believing that it sort of would be kind of the way that it played out. Hard hitting, tight checking, both teams trying to set the tone. But as far as tomorrow's game is concerned, I'm not feeling it in the same way. I actually think Dallas and Edmonton are going to get after it, man. Like, I'm going to be betting over 1.5 in the first period of this game tomorrow night. Edmonton could score. They're going to have a little bit of defensive lapses every now and then, but they do a great job of blocking shots. They're doing a better job defensively in the playoffs. They know they have to protect their goalie as well. But I'm seeing an even 6 right now. Oilers and Stars, -110, over under 6 on both sides. Stars are -130, but I'm definitely going to play the over 1.5 in the first period. But do you agree with my assessment that this game tomorrow is going to be much more free-flowing than the Eastern Conference games are?
I think it will be, but then again, I said that about Panthers-Rangers, and it was not so much that, I think the Oilers and Stars, I think, does set up to be high-scoring, but more so game ones in the playoffs until tonight. Game ones here in the Stanley Cup playoffs, first round and the second round have gone over, for the most part, until tonight. Tonight we saw, obviously, a low-scoring game. The goaltending was good.
Third round is different, Babano.
Third round is
and
different.
Let me say something about the third round, too, which is pretty important to bring up, especially for the Rangers. And this could be a negative for the Edmonton Oilers as well, that teams that rely on the power play so much, the later you go in the playoffs, the less they call. And once you get into the third round, you get into the fourth round, they don't call as much, Babano, just point blank. By the time you get to Stanley Cup Finals, bro, you can get away with anything. They don't call penalties. And even in the semifinals right now, they're going to keep the whistle in the pocket. And if you rely on the power play, you're not going to get bailed out with 5 or 7 power plays like you'll do in the first round.
I think the reason for that, too, is because we've got the best officials still left standing here at this stage of the playoffs. You know,
and more disciplined teams, yes. Best referees, yes. Disciplined teams, best teams, right? I mean, you look at the defensemen back there and stuff. A lot of smart players on the ice now.
Well, yeah, you got teams that won't take as many penalties, and now you got quality refs, the best in the NHL, that won't call as many penalties because they don't want to decide the game. They want to let the game flow. They want to let the game breathe, let the players decide it. You put that combination
well,
together.
Well, now if Toronto could just figure it out at the review center about what a goal is with goalie interference,
yeah. Yeah,
which is not the referee's fault because the referee doesn't make the decision. They go to the review, and Toronto, the review booth, makes a decision.
I think you brought up the best point tonight, Gabe. The thing is, a defenseman is cross-checking a player into the goalie who's making no effort to get into position to save the puck. That's the bottom line. We've all played the game. And that is a goal, in my opinion.
Oh,
right?
That wasn't interference tonight. But it didn't, they ended up winning the game anyways. And it goes to show, actually, guys, it should have been 4-0. It was even more dominant.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And I'll tell you one thing, if you're the Oilers, though, in this series, Dallas has jumped on every team in every series in the first period and early. See what they did? Remember, Gabe? 3-0 on Colorado. Edmonton, you can't play that dangerous game. Like, the Canucks didn't score enough goals. That will not work against the Dallas Stars. If they jump on you, you got big, big problems. Edmonton needs to score first to have a chance.
So the over-under in the first period is 1.5, minus 125. So it's not bad as far as the juice is concerned. First period line tomorrow, the Edmonton Oilers plus 100, Dallas Stars minus 120 on the money line, Oilers plus half a goal. It is interesting, just like this game is basically a pick 'em. Despite nobody giving Edmonton a chance, the game is basically a pick 'em. And despite almost, it's almost like deja vu all over again when nobody gave Vancouver a chance and it ended up going 7 games.
Well, Gabe, like another point is Dallas is, look at their road record. I don't think they lost. Have they lost a road game in the playoffs or one max? All their losses are home.
Yeah. But that's, you know what? Thing. Edmonton have been pretty good on the road, too.
I like Edmonton off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, but Dallas, what's Edmonton's record been bad? They beat L.A. on the road a bunch of times. They beat Vancouver on the road a couple of times. They won 2 to 3 games on the road against Vancouver.
Yeah, I like Edmonton in game one. I do. I think it sets up well. I think the fact they have 2 days off after game seven, it's kind of like running on fumes, running on adrenaline, just like Boston in game one against Florida in the second round. Remember, they beat Toronto in 7 in overtime. They rolled
right
into
game one.
Yeah,
it seems to catch up in game two. You're right. You're right off that game seven.
Yep.
Except NBA is the opposite. NBA teams always lose in game sevens. The T-Wolves were coming off of that.
Good call.
And as a favorite, too, as a favorite tonight.
As a favorite.
But it seems like you're right. In hockey, the team that wins the team that wins the game seven in the modern era, the last couple of this sort of new sports, because everything changes over the years, right? But you're right. Teams seem to roll out of these game sevens playing well and hot after.
And Dallas is 0-5. They have not won a game one under Peter DeBoer, believe it or not. They're 0-5.
And you said he's 8-0 in game sevens, too. So he sticks to his trends, Babano. He's consistent with his trends.
He does. Yes. So I like Edmonton tomorrow. I do. I like Dallas in 6 in the series because I just think they're the deeper team up front. They're the deeper team on defense. They have the better goaltending situation. And I think just top to bottom, they're a better team. They'll win the series. But I do like Edmonton in game one tomorrow night and the over.
I think this is going to be a series where home ice could be a little bit of a disadvantage and surprise people. Because Edmonton get caught up at home a lot with the hype of their crowd. And I don't know if it's the pressure or what it is, because it's not lack of energy. It's freaking crazy in that building, but it seems to backfire a lot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. 5-0 right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks over the Dodgers. So they're going to beat them again. They beat them last night. They're going to cash another ticket as a big dog. And now we got a little trend here where the D-backs give the Dodgers problems. And it's first and third. They're looking for more. And it was crazy because the game was scoreless in like the fourth and fifth inning. And the Dodgers, of course, had runners on first and third. I think there was one out at the time. They got nothing. And then the next at bat, Arizona put up a couple of runs, put up 3 runs and whatever. Here we are. But if you're on the D-backs, good for you. It's looking good. Right now, Ian Cameron and Cam Stewart kicking with us. We'll get Cam's golf picks for the Charles Schwab before we're done. We got him briefly earlier. We had Brady Cannon with us earlier, who's just been on fire, gave us Xander Schauffele last week. We'll recap Brady's best bets a little bit later on as well. But we'll get to the NBA. But as far as the hockey is concerned, so, Babano, you're saying you like the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow in game one at plus 110. The total is 6. And I was talking about the first period over 1.5. I'm going to play the first period over 1.5 minus 125. I agree with the Oiler pick. And as far as the total is concerned, it's 6. Kind of feels like a 6, to be honest. Wouldn't surprise me if we got a push at the 6. But I bet the under tonight. But I'm not betting the under with these two teams and these two offenses tomorrow. It's not the same as the Panthers and Rangers. What's your take? And then we'll move on to the NBA.
Yeah, I like the first period over two. I'm going to split it. First period, full game. So if we go 1-1, we split. If we go 2-0, obviously profit. So I'd just rather have a little bit of both first period over and full game over. And like I said, I mean, I buy into this with Dallas. They're okay losing game one and you know, slowly, you know, tiptoeing their way into a series, you know, learning something about their opponent. And look, they want to win game one too, but they just haven't done a great job of it. They've been off for a while. They haven't played since last Friday when they wrapped up that series against Colorado. And it's one of those series where all these strengths Dallas have, the stronger blue line, the deeper blue line, the deeper team up front, it'll show itself later in the series. You know, early in the series, I think Edmonton, given the circumstances, can be able to get the job done here in game one. And again, the Stars are winless. 5 under Peter DeBoer in game ones in a playoff series since he's been the head coach here with the Stars.
Cam, what's your pick for the game?
I'm going to take the over with you guys. I'm actually going to ride Dallas, even though they're a better road team than at home. I think they come out and they jump on Edmonton and win this game. I'm thinking 5-2, 5-3. I'm going to take a shot with the Stars. I don't know what it is about these guys. I just love, I love Chris Tanev, Gabe. Like all these guys, that like I'm looking at Edmonton going, yeah, you have these players, but like Dallas, I look at every guy on the roster. Babano said it, even without Roope Hintz, they're still way deeper than these guys. I think they have to establish some home success instead of being a team that's only lost one road game in the playoffs. I'm taking the Dallas Stars in game one, but I totally understand your point about Edmonton. Usually the team that has less rest does better in the first game.
It sounds cliched, but goaltending is massive in this series. If Skinner can just be good, don't be great, just don't cost the game. You know what I'm saying? Don't, you know what I mean? We're not asking you to steal the game, but then conversely, Ottinger's good enough to steal a game. So, but we've seen Ottinger, he wasn't sharp in every game he's played this year in the playoffs, right? If you can get a little bit of an onslaught going at him. And you guys are right. Dallas are so deep. They're physical. They're fast. They can play all styles of hockey as well. They're very good. But at the same point in time, if Edmonton's best players, this is the time, man, they need to step up. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, if Connor McDavid needs to be better, like, not just the assists, like, they need a hat trick game for Connor McDavid type deal. Mm-hmm. Like, they need McDavid to step up, hat trick, like, Draisaitl hat trick, Babano. You know what I'm saying? Evander Kane needs to score goals. Bouchard needs to keep it going. But you know, I don't think anybody's really, it's amazing. People hype up the Oilers all the time. Now suddenly they don't believe in them suddenly. And I hyped up Dallas. I jumped on the Dallas bandwagon like right around Christmas or whatever. And now I've got cold feet thinking, man, I don't know. Edmonton are pretty dangerous. But let's see how it plays out tomorrow night. So tomorrow night's going to be a fun night. We have that game, which is going to be really cool. And then we've got the Pacers and the Celtics. Game one was off the hook. The game sailed over the number of, it opened at 222, closed at like 223 and a half or so. And we saw 225 last night after the game. I see 224 and a half right now and a 9. Now, as far as the over is concerned, how do we not love the over again? Right? Just, you know, I mean, point blank. The Pacers score 123 a game. The Celtics score 120 a game. Yeah, it's the playoffs, but, you know, we're not, they don't have to get in the 250s for us to win this bet. So I'm going to go back to the over once again. But with that being stated, do the Celtics show up more tomorrow knowing, like, is tomorrow that blowout game? The Pacers plus the points might be a trap.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morency. We're throwing it down. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. Cam Stewart in the house with me. Ian Cameron joining us right now. We're talking about the Pacers and the Celtics game two. So we all cashed a ticket. We cashed a ticket with the Pacers plus the points in game one. We got lucky with the over in game. We bet the game over to begin with, which was an easy bet, but we pushed our luck. We took over 233.5 in game. We hit that late, and then we hit the over 242.5 in game because the game went to overtime. Tomorrow night, I don't think I'll be quite as ambitious as I was last night and push my luck quite as much. But I am going to bite at the 224.5 once again. Talking about the games that these teams have played, guys. They played November 1st, 155-104. That was early in the season. So they put up 159 points. Then they played December the 4th. It was 122-112 for the Pacers. The Boston won the first time in a row. So they got to 234. 118-101. That was the lowest scoring game they played this year. 118-101. They played a lot. The Pacers beat them 133-131 another time. The Celtics beat them 129-124 in January. And then they just played again last night, and it was 133-128, albeit in overtime, but it still went way over the number without overtime. It was 117-117 to 234 when we went to overtime. So, Babano, I'm going to bet the total again, and I will take the Pacers again plus the points, but I was more confident last night plus the points than I am tomorrow. I think Boston might play better tomorrow night, like just more complete game, and the Pacers hang around. But Boston, like, you know, 126-114 or something like that wouldn't shock me. But I'm gonna take the Pacers and hope for the best. But I like the over in the game too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if every game in this series is going to go over the total, but I think there's a good chance we see more overs. Part of the reason why I like the over last night is Indiana's going to push the pace. They're going to try to get their easy fast break transition baskets because they need to before Boston sets up with their half court defense, which is pretty good. And that's the key because they can actually defend the perimeter well, and you don't want to be set up 5-on-5. You want to get those easy baskets. Indiana did a nice job of that. But at the same point in time, the defense is still a little shaky for the Pacers. Boston's probably due for a little bit better and a more in-sync offensive performance than I think we probably saw last night. So I can definitely make a case for the over. Why I like Indiana, again, is because I believe in this team's tough mentality. You know, I know it was a brutal loss. I know they probably feel like an empty a game that they should have won that, a missed opportunity. But they showed some toughness in New York, you know, where they lost game one. It was a tough one. They came back in game two. They didn't win, but they were in that game start to finish. I think they'll be in this one start to finish. And more than anything, I just look at this point spread. This could be one of those series where the point spread's just out of whack from the very beginning. That to me, Boston right now, especially without Kristaps Porzingis, is just not 9-10 points better than Indiana right now on any court. Because I think this Pacers team is being dramatically undervalued, disrespected, not given enough credit, I think, for the way they've played. So this is a mispriced. This look to me looked like game one was mispriced. I think this whole series, because they're basing the power rating on the full season record, full season stats, you know, I think Indiana's going to be undervalued this whole series. So I'm back on them tomorrow. Plus the points in game two.
Gabe, you know, too, the best thing about the Pacers is Boston went on those crazy runs and they always found a way to come back from some live betting perspective. Like, they never tap out these guys. It's like, and Boston goes through these routes. You've talked about it many times where you let the Pacers back in the game. So that's one of these things from a live betting perspective. I think Indiana can be live. Even if they get down 12, they're like, we've been in this situation before. We're just going to grind back. And they did many times in the first game and threw it away.
I put the bet in today, Pacers plus 3.5 games in the series. So, in other words, they need to win one game. And I parlayed it with the Dallas Mavericks plus 2.5 games in the series. So getting that win tonight with the Mavs is big. I don't want to mush it, but the Mavs are winning another game in this series.
I would hope so.
I just need the Pacers. I need the Pacers to steal one, right? It'd be great if they steal it tomorrow, but I brought it up too, Babano. The Pacers are a very good home team. They should be able to nail one, you know, at least one down. And even if they fell behind two games to none, it wouldn't shock me if the Pacers were able to win in both games at home. Because I'm with you. I think the Pacers are the real deal. I don't think they're just going to go away easily with Boston. Without Porzingis, too, as you stated. The Celtics aren't the same team. Right. And they're just track meet games. I use the analogy. It's like two high-scoring college football teams going head-to-head against each other. You want the underdog, right? Whoever has the ball last wins. And we sort of saw that with the Pacers and Celtics. Whoever sort of gets the ball last wins in the last minute. So we saw tonight a super close game as well. The NBA Conference Finals off to a great start from a viewing and a fan standpoint. The Mavericks step up and get it done tonight. Big players make big plays in big games. You need stars to make plays. I talked about it with McDavid and Draisaitl, just point blank. You need to make plays. You need to put goals in the net. And for the Mavericks to win, we can talk about Washington. We can talk about Gafford. We can talk about Hardaway Jr. We can talk about everybody. It's going to come down to Luka and Kyrie Irving. And they both brought it tonight, man. 33 from Luka, 30 from Kyrie Irving. And then everybody else just sort of chipped in. It was close, but they got it done. Dallas are a scary, dangerous team, man, because Luka Doncic is that good. I've been buying in at Minnesota's hype battle, but the Dallas Mavericks and that star power that they have right now, Luka is on another level right now. The T-Wolves are good, but they showed they have offensive limitations, and they haven't been this far before. The Mavericks have. Maverick players have been in the playoffs before. Kyrie's won championships before.
Yeah, I think when you look at this series, I like Dallas a lot here in Game 1 because you had Minnesota off Game 7 against Denver. Tough turnaround. Dallas with a little rest advantage. Dallas been a good road team, been a good underdog team. And sure enough, they ended up winning outright here as a road underdog in Game 1. And you're right. That's really one of the – we haven't seen this all playoffs from Kyrie and Luka that at the same time in the same game they've had the 30-plus point performances, both of them. Hasn't always happened. Usually it's been Luka going big one night, Kyrie going big one night. Maybe there's a night both of them are off and P.J. Washington steps up and he's had a great playoffs for Dallas. I don't think he's getting talked about enough. He's been terrific. But I do think if Minnesota's going to make thing, you know, give themselves the best chance to win this series, it's almost a got-to-have-it game. You know, not that they can't go into Dallas and win because Dallas, you know, has stumbled at home and Minnesota went to Denver and went one game one, game two, and then game seven, you know, in the last round. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota's a good road team. But you still don't want to put yourself in a spot where you're going to be down 2-0 going back to Dallas. So I think for me, Minnesota in the first half I like. I don't know about the full game, but I'll take Minnesota, the better number, early in the game, first half on Friday night in Game 2. You can lay 5 if you want. I don't feel as comfortable, though, with that. I think the first half's the better option. You'll probably get 2.5, 3 with that. I think Minnesota will have a strong start, get the lead, get the jump on Dallas.
The biggest shocking thing to me about the NBA playoffs, and I'll give them credit, is they're playing every 2 days, which mm-hmm. is very un-NBA-like. But they're rolling it out. You know, like you said, Bannon, we got a game. There's a game Thursday. There's a game Friday. There's a game Saturday. Yep. There's a game Sunday. Like, there's games, you know, like, normally it's like, oh, man, they're off for 4 days, and it's ridiculous. But good job on their behalf. And speaking of the NBA on TV, just quickly, of course, anybody that follows this stuff knows that TNT is done. NBC is back, and they're outbidding TNT for the NBA rights, which nobody really cares what networks the games are on, but people are more obviously concerned about losing what a lot of people feel is the best show on TV. With Shaq and Kenny Smith and Ernie and Chuck, obviously, and the show won't just carry over, right? There's contracts, there's network deals.
Ernie Johnson's a lifer. Ernie Johnson,
yeah, he's a lifer.
Yeah,
no, the guy's been there his entire life. He's like, he's not leaving that. Like, he's, you know what I mean? It was a nice dude. It was 35 years of NBA basketball. Like, nothing lasts forever for him. Yeah. But let's be real. It doesn't have to end. They can just do their show anyways. Yeah, and they don't have the rights. It doesn't matter. And they can be more even off the cuff because they don't have to worry about pissing the NBA off.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. A lot of stuff going on in the hockey world. We talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got the World Hockey Championships going on. We got a full slate quarterfinal action tomorrow from Prague. USA versus the home team. It's going to be tough. USA minus 125 against the Czech Republic, plus 105. The total is 5.5. Sweden are minus 380 against Finland. And I'll tell you what. Sweden are the favorites to win the tournament, but I think they're overpriced. And anytime you're getting plus 300 with Sweden and Finland, these teams hate each other for real, real. Like, this is like one of the biggest rivalries in sport. Just as countries, like, they're very, very competitive with each other. They don't like each other. And it means a hell of a lot to them. And it should be noted, Finland are the kings of finishing third in big-time hockey. Just for the record.
So right.
They never Finland win, bronze. But they always knock out someone, and they lose, and then they win the bronze medal game all the time.
I always love that, though. I always love that. Why? You know what? At least you're on the podium. Fourth.
And this is like their gold medal game, Cam, to beat Sweden. Like, they know this. Oh. They're all in on this. I know Sweden are a little better, but it's not like they're, like, I don't think they should be -380 favorites against Finland. Like, I'm going to jump in on the puck line here. Finland, I'm going to put together a +2.5 play if I can here. Let me see.
Yeah, I think you may be able to do that. Finland's one of those teams, too. You know they're going to get up for it because Sweden's a little bit more cocky. And Finland, when they play Sweden, it's like, okay, bring it on. So it's going to be a dirty game. Maybe the over in that game due to a lot of penalties and the hatred in the country. You like the under?
No, I was going to say, the Finns are going to play. Like, they want to play a 2-1 game here. Yeah, it's minus 185 to under 5.5. I was going to say I'm betting the under of this game. Mm. I think the under is going to play. It's elimination games. USA, Czech Republic, totals 5.5, minus 140. Finland, Sweden's 5.5. I agree with both unders there. Switzerland and Germany. Switzerland are good. They've really improved over the last 20 years. So Germany are pretty good, too. Their total is 5.5 as well. Switzerland should win, but I wouldn't lay minus 310. And Canada are minus 550 favorites against Slovakia.
That's a lot.
I think Canada will win, but they shouldn't be minus 550 favorites. They're -2.5 on the goal line. Any international play for you, Babano? I've been watching this tournament and betting it all along. I know you've had your eye on it. What do you like tomorrow? We can get Babano's... Get Babano's audio back up and running. There you go, Babano.
Canada, Slovakia. I'll throw a little stunner at you, a little curveball. I don't know if they'll win the game, but I like Slovakia +2.5. I think that's going to be it. Slovakia's goaltender has been awesome in this tournament. He's got like a 1.6 goals against average. He's been one of the best goalies in the tournament. They have Juraj Slafkovský from Montreal, Simone Nemec from New Jersey, who's a very good player. They've got a couple good NHLers, a lot of guys that aren't, but they play a good structure. They've been very good defensively. And we've seen Canada not play 60 minutes in this tournament in a lot of games. They had that 6-1 lead against Austria. They blew it. They tied 6-6. They had to rescue themselves in overtime. They blew a 3-1 lead to the Czechia the other day. They had to win in overtime. They're not winning games easily, and they're not holding leads. That's a concern. You know, if you're going to lay the puck line here with Canada. So I think Slovakia, believe it or not, +2.5 worth a look. By the way, last year they played in the World Championship, Canada-Slovakia, in the preliminary round. Canada needed a shootout to beat Slovakia last year. So I think that's a close game. Give me the 2.5 goals, Slovakia.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy either. I'd say I wouldn't shock me if Canada won 3-2 or 4-2. And they didn't cover that lofty number. USA Czech Republic's going to be lit that game, man. I'm going to be definitely going to see that. That's at 2:20 Eastern time. Canada and Slovakia are 10:20 Eastern time, 7:20 Pacific time, and then Switzerland, Germany, and Sweden, Finland are the middle games. The main event is USA Czech Republic, obviously. And this game is in Prague too.
David Pasternak, Pavel Zacha, and a couple of really good players.
In the troops.
There. Yep, they did. Yeah. They're ready for the Olympics.
And even Slovakia, guys, even though it's not the Czech Republic, there's an advantage. Like, they get a pop, these European countries out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like real road. This is, like, tough. That's why players love it. It's so much fun. You're going into Europe, they're banging drums and stuff. I always love that they have the cars in the arena, like behind the net.
Yeah.
There's like a car parked behind the net on a platform. It's like the sponsor. Brought to you by Mercedes. They have a Mercedes behind the net.
Yeah. Like in the golf tournament when they got the car in the water on the thing. It just looks better. It's aesthetically
They're very classy
pleasing.
In Europe. It's like, we got a BMW behind the net.
Yeah, exactly. I like your style, though, because Canada, it's one of those things they're – Price like, oh, we're going to blow at everybody. And Babano, anti-Canada stance, Gabe. He's gone on the Dallas Stars and Slovakia. He thinks about money. You don't care, buddy. It's all about the money. You're right. I might take the puck line, too. That might be lofty for Canada to win by three.
Yeah. What's your pick, Babano, for USA and Czech Republic?
I'm the home underdog. They're hosting the tournament. They just added reinforcements. And I've got futures on the U.S. to win this tournament. That's the one future bet I made was USA to win the World Hockey Championship. A really good price. I thought their roster was good, but this is a scary matchup. It's not good for the U.S. that they drew the host nation that just added David Pastrnak, Pavel Zacha, and a few reinforcements from the NHL the last few days. So I think there's value on them as a home underdog. They're just a slight home dog. And plus, I got the U.S. futures. I don't feel totally comfortable in the U.S. here, so I'd probably put something on the Czechia side there.
Yeah, they have many names, this country, though. Czechoslovakia, Czechia, Czech Republic. Their list is Czech Republic at the book, just for the record. But
yeah,
I agree with you. I think the Czech Republic are to play. Cam, what are your Charles Schwab best bets?
Thanks, Morenci. Well, let's go into it right now. And we got some second place with me and you, buddy. Second place with DeChambeau last week. But we have done something very well, Gabe. We've hit first-round leaders two straight weeks in the same guy, Xander Schauffele. So let's get into this right now.
That's unbelievable.
But here are the picks for the first-round leaders. That's what we're going to do. I got two favorites. Colin Morikawa is 14-1. Some books even have him at 12. But at the first-round leader market, he's 25. We've talked about this. The chalk, you get way better prices, and he comes out of the gate hot. He's playing really well early. So give me Morikawa, Harris English at 42, Aaron Ryan Ginger at 60, Captain Kirk is a hot starter at 60, Bo Hostler's a Texas Longhorn at 75-1, and Patrick Rogers from Stanford, he's a Thursday Warrior, 100-1. Those are my first round leader picks. We'll give you the rest after the break to win the tournament, top 5, 10, and 20s.
We'll get some best bets from Babano and more on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. As I mentioned earlier, Brady Cannon joined us earlier. Great golf capper. He actually was on Xander last week. He likes Colin Morikawa this week. He likes others as well, but Colin Morikawa, Danny McCarthy, Bazoudenhout, Putnam, and Billy Horschel are his plays. We just got Cam's plays. But Babano, I know you got a couple of golf bets for us. What do you got for us?
Yeah, this is an interesting tournament because it's actually a pretty good field. My golf guys recommended Bigfoot Finau. Tony Finau, 35-1. Harris English, 50-1. Sepp Straka, around 55-1. As well as Aaron Rye, who Cam mentioned for first-round leader, 68-1. Now, this is to win the tournament. Mark Hubbard, 90-1. And a little bit of a long shot here. Webb Simpson, 150-1 here. Blast from the past, but apparently a decent fit for this particular course. So that's what my golf guy is recommending here for the Chuck Schwab.
I'm going to take Lucas Glover as a long shot. I'm swinging for the fences and hoping to get top 20 home with that. But I'll ride the Morikawa train here. It does feel like a Morikawa first round leader. I'll jump in on the first round leader more so than the tournament because, as Cam mentioned, I like the better odds. Gokster in the house in our chat. He likes a lot of guys. He likes Harris English, Bradley, Rye. Putnam, Kirk. Oh, Lucas Glover. You're on my Lucas Glover pick as well. I didn't know you like Lucas Glover. I like Lucas Glover. JP, the postman, and Mark Hubbard as well. And he's going all first round leaders with all those plays. And let's try to get it, Gokster. Good stuff. Good to see you in the chat. And shout out to Chris Brady as well in the state of Washington. throwing it down with us. I want to get to this best of X. We got a couple of minutes here. This will be quick, but Red Lobster, of course, put themselves out of business, not just because of the all-you-could-eat deal, because they had financial issues to begin with. And their financial issues were actually more in real estate, but I don't want to get too business-based. But another company is actually daring people, and they're even tempting people. They're putting it in the promo, don't make us go bankrupt, but we bet you can't. Let's see what we've got here. Buffalo Wild Wings is stepping up and in. All you can eat, boneless wings and fries for $19.99. No exceptions. They claim all you can eat. And in fact, they're even tempting people, saying, we bet you can't eat more than 22 of them. They probably based that people won't eat more than 22 of them. My only beef with this is, if they're boneless, they're not wings. They're chicken tenders, they're chicken nuggets, they're chicken strips, they're chicken, whatever the hell you want to call them, but they're not wings. Like, wings have bones. I don't understand what people don't understand about that.
Thank you, Gabe. It's my biggest frustration in the world. They're called pieces, you idiots.
There's no such thing as boneless wings.
I know. No. They're called
chicken. That's what they say on the ads. Boneless wings all the time.
Morsels.
Yeah, but they're not boneless. They call them chicken pieces, chicken whatever, chicken. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah. They're nuggets.
Chicken bites. Chicken bites. Yeah, That's what I call them. They're chicken bites.
Yeah, morsels, bites. Done. I'm with you. I've had enough. I prefer a bone in my wing. That's the way I like to roll. But I'll crush them. $19.99. Yeah. We'll eat it.
You know why they won't lose money, though? Because people went to Red Lobster and didn't order a bunch of booze. You can't eat all that chicken and French fries and Buffalo Wild Wings without ordering beer and stuff.
Great call, Moretzi. They just ripped it up on the seafood.
Yeah, they're alcohol, like, yeah, we're going to get their 20 bucks and we're going to hit them up for a bunch of beers after a bucket of beer. Yeah. And, well, we got 75 bucks from you for something that cost us 20.
Yep, you're so correct. The Red Lobster's closing soon. I got to hit them this week before they go. In Canada, they're lasting a little
bit
longer.
People were having a Sprite with ice. Yeah, can I get a glass of water, please? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're stuffing biscuits and people are like crushing lobster. You're like, all right, honey, eat as much as you can. Yeah, people going to the wings are going to order beer with it and stuff. So they won't go on.
That's
a good point. Like, my brother doesn't drink and he was just pounding ginger ales and like about 50 crab legs. You got to have a booze with the
next week. The CFL starts in less than 2 weeks. Preseason's here.
Oh, nice. What?
My boy Rick Saratella is a scout with the Edmonton Elks now. He's a regular guest on the show. Oh, he hooked me up with some elk gear.
I like
got
that.
Got both the hats, got the sideline hats. I'm ready to go here.
Yeah, there you go. EE.
It's a little
Let's
big.
Go, baby. Yeah, but, it's a big one. Big melon. Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet hoodie, though. They're 75th anniversary.
Nice, man. That's a really nice shirt. That's clean.
Very nice.
Very nice. Like it. Great. So rich.
75th anniversary. Take the over in the Pacers-Celtics game. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.